welcome to the Geek Actually After Show for episode 86 for the 29th of May 2010. And we are back for...
Yes, we are.
We are back for this unstructured after show. And as we say at the beginning of every after show, if this is your first experience at a Geek Actually show, pause, stop, go back and listen to a main show. This is not what this is. This is basically after the show is over, we keep the microphones hot, and we just basically talk about whatever comes into our mind, stuff that didn't fit into the main show or other random topics that we have thought about throughout the day and didn't get into the main show. Anyway, that's what this is all about. We are joined once again by Josh Philpott. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm still fine.
You're still fine?
Yeah.
Well, still seeing as it was only 2 hours ago, I hope so. Shane Gregory is also with us again. How are you, Shane?
Very good.
That's good. And of course, we're still joined by Ben O'Brien. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm rocking out.
Okay. Now, Ben was a little confused. We started, I said, we're ready to go. And he just started rolling. It's like, no, wait. After show still needs an introduction.
I'm in a constant state of confusion, Dave. I'm just drifting through.
You can watch the after show live. We don't have a set start time because it all depends on when the Geek Actually podcast finishes. Geek Actually podcast goes out usually, typically, at 12 p.m. Saturday afternoons. Sometimes we're a little bit late. Today we're actually pretty good on time. Depending on whether that show is an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, will be dependent on when the after show takes place. All right, so with all of that said, let's roll straight into this. And the first thing we're going to talk about before we go into some of the stories we missed during the show was, of course, iPad. In the main show, we talked about the fact that it was released this week. And now Josh and Shane were on the front line in the retail sector, and they got their chance to get their hands on it.
Yes.
To start with,
what does it feel like?
Anyone that wants to go out and actually check them out, have a bit of a play, and if you're not anywhere near an Apple store, as there are only two local,
and they're apparently out of stock anyway.
I doubt they pulled the ones off the shelf.
Good point.
But if anybody wants to come and have a look at them, most of the JB stores that have the Apple tables will have them now set up. So
right.
There are four of them running. Constantly.
Yes, I'm thinking about coming down tomorrow to have a look, actually.
Yep. Have a bit of a play, get your fingers
all
over them.
I'm going to be wearing my
clean them every couple of hours because you people are disgusting.
Should I bring my sausage down with me? Have you heard about this?
I was planning on mincing meat. What?
Have you heard about the sausage?
No, I was just
apparently there is a big industry at the moment in Japan. People are actually using like little sausages as pointers for the iPod.
What?
Because in winter it's too cold and you can't use them with gloves because it's because of the conductivity.
Why not a stylus?
Because styluses don't work.
Yeah,
because it needs to be conductive.
Doesn't work. It needs to be conductive.
That's right. Because it's a conductive screen.
You're using a sausage.
So there, people have actually people going out and buying these little sausage links just to use for their iPads.
I'm glad you explained that because I was just sitting there going, "Why would you bring a sausage?"
Yeah, I'm going to come to JB and whip my sausage.
Don't do that. We have a security
guard.
Let
me swipe it with this.
And I'll just look at you plainly without even emotional twitch in my eye and be like, don't put your deck on my iPads.
What was the movie we were watching? It might have been on television, actually. You might have not
where
seen
this
it.
Happened?
Where guy's trying to activate his... Oh, no, it was in Chuck. It was in the last episode of Chuck I just watched. He's tied up and his iPhone's sitting next to him and he's trying to swipe the thing with his nose. To get the iPhone started. It was a really cute side game.
Wow.
I'm so glad you said nose, too. Buddy.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I was going in a whole different direction.
Not his sausage, all right? All right, so you guys, I'm assuming, didn't have lines around the block.
No, actually, we started off very quiet. Towards the evening, we got a bit bigger. Shane will probably have.
Now, Shane works at the busier JB. Yeah. So, how are you going? How'd you go?
I can tell you the little story which we had. Basically, we have had a new Apple store open up in Bondi.
There's two now.
I think it's going to be replacing my Mac.
Oh,
I'm
right.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Where's the other? Oh, my Mac is.
Yeah.
Oh, is my Mac closing?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think they might be collaborating. Not 100% sure, but. Anyway, they had a line outside of that shop. It was about a kilometer long.
Jesus.
They had about multiple security guards.
Yeah, but how about outside your store?
Oh, no, the...
That's the Mac store downstairs.
That was the Mac store, but we didn't really have many people that came to our shop. But
of course not, because everybody was told that Apple was sold out, so therefore everyone lined up there.
But apparently, from what the other salespeople told me, that we did get kind of a small little mad rush when we actually opened up the doors. Mm. And about... 10 or 15 went within half an hour.
Well, Cyrus in our chat room has said that she'd rather have an iPhone over an iPad. Mm. No, I have an iPhone, and I love my iPhone to death. There's no doubts about that. But I got to say, I'm really keen on the iPad as well, just because of the screen size.
The Marvel app, I downloaded that on the iPhone, and you can't read it on there.
Well, you can, but it's small and it has to do so much screen moving.
Can you zoom in on that? I can't figure out how to zoom in on the
panels. You do a swipe. Yeah. You have to be in landscape mode. You have to be in landscape, and then you just swipe.
And it will automatically fix everything up.
Yeah, if you're actually in portrait mode, the thing I hate about that app is if you're in portrait mode, you can't even zoom on it.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to...
But if you turn it into landscape mode, it goes into the panel. And then, not just the panel, though, it actually goes to areas of interest. So if there's like an image that has two sets of dialogue, it starts at the top one. When you swipe, the camera moves down to the other piece of dialogue.
To like sound effects, to like dialogue, then boom!
Pretty much. And if there's a big panel, you'll swipe, it'll be on the dialogue. When you swipe it again, it'll just zoom out so you can see the panel. It's actually really well written, the Marvel app. It really is.
I think it's going to be a really clever marketing strategy.
The thing I did notice, though, because the Comixology app, which is the same app, Comixology made the Marvel app, so it's based on their technology. I downloaded a couple samples from them, and it's interesting because the samples don't have any zooming on them. Yeah. So they're just sample panels, but you can't really read them because they have no twist or anything.
Interestingly enough, though, the Comixology, on that actual front, the Comixology, in my opinion, their app works so much better because it's so much smoother.
It's smoother, and there's a bigger range of stuff.
Yeah, well, all right.
Because it's got all the Marvel stuff, because it has all the Marvel stuff, plus all the independent stuff. Yeah. So it's got a much broader range of stuff.
I'm interested in it just because, I mean, I do this, and I think a lot of people do it, where they just buy the full volumes rather than each issue, because I think it works out to be cheaper because it's like $6 or something per issue. Mm. Whereas now that if it's online, it seems like it could actually be cheaper. You know, like iTunes.
Well,
comic
books are cheaper digitally than they are in print.
It's like
because
$2 or something per...
Well, it's $2 US because it's all in US funds. So it's $2 US as opposed
to
the
$5. That's not much for us anyway.
No, that's right, because we're at, 80 cents to the dollar or something like that at the moment.
So I think that's the one thing that would kind of win me over, just that it ended up being a lot cheaper than getting the full volume.
Northy in our chat room said that they'd like an iPad, but they can't see myself using it other than browsing forums on my lunch breaks at work, which I already do on my iPhone fairly successfully, just not as easily. There's so much more to the iPad than just the web, though. That's the thing. I mean, the games are amazing on the iPad. The productivity is higher because it actually has things like word processors and stuff like that. The keyboard in landscape mode, haven't tried it myself yet, but apparently is very usable as it's almost like a netbook size keyboard, you know?
How would you guys, having seen it, rate it in terms of portability? Do you think it's something that you would easily
portability,
lug around?
I think what people forget is that, it's this sort of product is for anybody that had concept-wise wants one of these, wants a netbook. I mean, it's not meant to be an iPhone. That's what you've got to understand.
That's right.
It's meant to be the product that is a small computer. It's a small usable device.
It's a small consumer product.
Exactly. It's used for all those daily tasks that you use. We've played with Pages, the Excel, and also PowerPoint on them. I've been playing with those for like a day solid now. They all work very well. They all load the
I love Keynote.
The setup.
Keynote is fabulous.
It works so well. It works so, sort of fluidly once you get your head around how it works and everything like that. People complain about multitasking. There is no problem with multitasking with these products because you just press the button, and if you press it again, it loads to the exact same location
you were just at. In terms of the interface and apps and stuff, is it more in line with an iPhone or a Mac, would you say?
Definitely iPhone.
So it doesn't have... if it's more like a computer, does it have iMovie or Photoshop type stuff on it?
Well, no, because
there's actually a Photoshop.com app for it that you can do photo manipulation, but that's not what it's for. Yeah. It's not a content. This is the big misconception about this device. Everybody's saying, oh, but can it do this? Can it? It's not a content creation device. It is a content consumption device.
Yeah.
It's not
trying to be like a computer.
It's not trying to be.
It just seems like it occupies this weird space between the
in the middle. That's exactly what he said when he announced it, though. He said, this is to fill that gap between your computer and your phone.
But that just makes me think.
Which is a traditional space, which is where netbooks
exist. Is it really that necessary? You know what I mean?
Well, like,
do
I
we really need that space in our life filled?
But ask yourself this. I filled that space in my life because I have a computer. I also have a laptop, but I also have a netbook.
But let's outside of, I mean, because we're all
this is exactly what I'm saying. Kind of it's not for people, meant for us.
For the normal person.
It's not meant for
us. Is it really, Shane, if they have a computer and a phone?
Yeah, hold on.
No, but Shane can attest to this. Probably about a good 60 to 75% of the customers that walk through that door will always give me the same exact specifications of what they want out of a computer. They say, I want to use the internet, yeah. I want to write Word documents, I want to browse my mail, and occasionally watch a video and music.
Yeah.
Bam! Everything an iPad does. And everything okay. that it
can
will
now
do.
Before, can you slide discs into it? Or is it you have to download them onto it?
There's no disk drive.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's no, disk drive on this.
That itself would already eliminate a large part of the population who crave simplification in their
but
computers.
But you're thinking about it as the necessary nature of people putting their stuff onto it. I mean,
I'm just trying to look at it from a marketing point of view on a wider spectrum.
iTunes,
like us who will gravitate to these things because we have more uses.
Put it this way, Ben. The prevalence of digital download has become to such a degree that iTunes is now the number one retailer of music in the world. It actually beats any brick-and-mortar store for the sale of music, which means people are already used to downloading their music, right? They don't want a physical disc. No. People are buying television shows. People are buying movies in digital form. Right, we're already seeing a decline in the sales of physical media. People actually don't want to have a drive. It's another point of failure on that machine. Yeah. They can have it as a device that they can carry around. There's no moving parts. It's not going to be fragile in the sense that
it's got a 7 to 8 hour battery.
It's got longer, apparently.
But then isn't this really just an amalgamation? If
it's a content consumption device, it is for people who want to be able to have. Their photos.
It's like an iPhone with a bigger screen.
It's an iPod Touch with a bigger screen, is what it is. But it's a rocket fast iPod Touch because it's got this A4 processor in it.
I'm sure it works really well, but I'm just trying to, just from a marketing point of view, because I kind of think that with a lot of these things.
And the average user.
The spaces that get filled are spaces.
But what
that
we're finding
use,
is.
That we don't need to get filled, but once something gets created.
Is it the market. Because that was the big question before iPod came out, which is iPad came out, which is, do we need this?
Yeah.
And after 1 million iPads sold, obviously there was a very large percentage of people who basically said, what I want is something that I can carry conveniently in a briefcase, which traditionally was the netbook. Conveniently in a briefcase that I can put some movies on and stuff like that. So when I'm on an airplane traveling, I can watch a movie. If I want to read a book, I have a reader. If I want to check the net, I can check the net. This is what the iPad
does.
But
let's be honest, though, with Apple products... There's going to be 1 million people who buy it. If it's something that's hyped up as much as the iPad.
Talk about Apple TV. Nobody bought it.
Think of the unveiling, though, you know, the tablet. It was all just so...
But I mean, like, dude, if you're looking at it like that and you're saying, you know, that, like, all these people with disk drives and so on and so forth. Again, like, I mean, as someone that works on the shop floor, 90% of these people don't care. 90% of these people, there's two types of people that will do this. A netbook, right, which is, again, what we're talking about it replacing, right, is the kind of person that's walking in and going, look, I have my crappy 9-year-old computer at home. It still runs iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. All I want is something that's portable that I can take around with me, right? Whether it be their replacement for their desktop that they currently have, which, again, will still use all these programs.
Although I would say the iPad is never a replacement for an actual computer.
But for those people that only want it for this functionality.
Yeah, well, you still need a computer, though, because you need to have it. You need to tether it to something to actually move its content.
But again, 90% of these people that are buying a netbook, this won't be their main computer.
No, absolutely not. And people who own just a netbook, I say, are crazy anyway, because the netbook isn't powerful enough to do anything real.
Yes, I know that.
You know, so I mean, the netbook is really just that portable device that you throw into your satchel to carry with you because it's light,
it's
fast, and it does the job.
It's the new, and it really is a niche market that is growing every day. Is the concept of that second computer, the one that will always be with you?
And we've got a couple comments in the chat room. We'll just bring these up.
I was just going to say that it says it. But no flash support. And
okay, we'll address the flash support in just one second. Northy has said the way you explain it sounds more like the successor to the MacBook Air than a bigger iPhone. I think the MacBook Air is going to be phased out, quite frankly. I think it was a failure, abject failure. I think what it is a replacement for netbooks, which MacBook Air was kind of like their attempt failed attempt at trying to create
because
something
ultra
portable.
Because it was still 13-inch. That's right. It's still too big.
We've got Snake Oz saying, I've never seen an Apple TV anywhere. Come into my living room. I've got one downstairs. No, but Apple TV is an abject failure. And in fact, there's a rumor going around right now that there is actually a new Apple TV coming out at this announcement on June 7th, when they're going to also announce the new iPhone, that is the size of an iPod Touch, runs the iPhone operating system, and basically will be this ultra-portable media device. It literally has, it's like an iPod Touch with no screen. So it's just this little box, basically, that you'll be able to... And it outputs 1080p. So they're actually... And it's going to be priced in America. The rumor is... This is all rumor at this point. It's going to be priced at $99. So Apple is aggressively going after Google TV, by the sounds of it. Because Apple TV was a failure. And I think they're redesigning. Now, the question is... That came up when this was actually raised was, does this mean Apple is moving away from OS X and going straight for the iPhone operating system? No. What it means is they've got two operating systems, which, by the way, work, are related.
Yeah, and work like seamlessly between each.
That's right, and but they are related. iPhone OS is a cut-down, abbreviated version of OS X. It's the same core. It's just it's got this different interface on it. And they're very, very clever because the iPhone operating system works perfectly for the devices that it is geared for. And you're not going to put a full operating system on an iPhone because it just wouldn't work. And you're not going to put a full operating system on the iPad. It's not meant to be that device. The flash situation, okay. Snake Oz has already said that he wishes there was flash on it because he can't watch this show on his iPhone.
Yeah.
Stand by, because there'll never be flash on an Apple product. Mm-hmm. However, most of the creation, the content creation sites like Ustream and YouTube and so forth are ditching flash. So stand by.
Very, very soon, too.
Soon. YouTube already has an HTML5 beta online, which has the entire YouTube site basically in HTML5. It's not the main site.
Yeah.
But all they're going to do is once that's running perfectly, they'll just switch it over. But if you want to, you can actually look for that. You can Google it, and you'll find an alternate YouTube, which is like this alternate reality where it's all done in HTML5.
It's like the ultimate universe.
And it works perfectly. And if you notice, if you've ever used Firefox, there's actually a Firefox plugin which allows you to copy YouTube videos. Yeah. I forget what it's called now, but basically it's this little icon that comes up in your corner. When you actually bring that drop down to see what video is on the page, there's the Flash version, and then there's the MP4 version. They're both there. So the MP4 version will play on your iPhone. This is what's going to take over from Flash. Ustream has already made rumbles that they're going to H.264 encoding. They're already encoding in H.264, actually, I should say. Their wrapper is a Flash wrapper, and it's going.
Exactly. And look, I mean, the way that we have been seeing it lately hitting, I think this is the last year.
I think Flash as the dominant... dominant player, and the fact that Google wrote that game, the Pac-Man game, all in HTML5, which traditionally it would have been Flash, they wrote that entire thing in HTML5, brilliant. And it shows that it can be done, and it shows that it can be done very effectively. And I think the days, Flash's days as a dominant force, it'll always be around, don't get me wrong, because Flash does things, you know, it's good for what it was, which was creating little movies. Yeah. Let's go back to doing what it did, you know? The day that Flash took over is this predominant web standard, I think, was a bad move. I think it was I think Flash is buggy as hell. I don't want it on my iPhone, quite frankly. My iPhone works perfectly. It never crashes. Put Flash on there, I guarantee it's going to crash.
Yeah.
Multitasking, another question that comes up constantly. Everybody who's used an iPad, and you guys can attest to this, everybody who's used an iPad says multitasking is an issue because it launches everything so fast.
I've never used a computer probably that has launched something that fast.
But that being said,
absolutely rocket fast.
In June, they're releasing iPhone OS 4, which has multitasking, and the iPad version of that will be out in August. So in August, iPad will multitask. Yeah. So multitasking is also not an issue. Once again, please stand by. Yeah. You know, it's like patience is a virtue in all of these things.
Like, I mean, having one of these sort of things, like, I mean, I've just started to get to the point where it's just that little bit too annoying. If I could just minimize it just a bit, if I could just have it sitting down beside my bed so I could pick up and use instead of getting the cord out because this thing's down to an hour and a half battery life.
And think about this as well. This is the joy of the... Look, most netbooks are running Windows XP. Mm. Okay, some are running Windows 7 now, but most are running Windows XP. Windows XP has always had an issue going to sleep. Mm-hmm. It's never slept well, right? So you're constantly having to turn on your netbook. If you want to get into something quickly, you say, are you watching a movie? You say, who's that guy? I'll look him up really quickly. Open the screen, hit the space bar, wait till it wakes up, type in your password, you know, and you're, and then you start doing some work, right? Mm-hmm. The iPad is instant on.
Yeah.
It's
like, I mean, you've used your iPad for the, your iPod for
it's instant on. As soon as you hit that home button, bingo, you're online, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's an instant on device, which is exactly what it is meant for. It is not meant to replace a computer. And this is where the geeks got it. So the geeks jump up and they're going, but I can't do this and I can't do that. Stop it. You're not who it's aimed at. You know? It's aimed at, put it this way, I know so many people go, oh, that's the computer all by my father. That's the computer all by my mother. You know?
Dude, I would have thought that's the opposite.
No, because all they want is something to be able to communicate with their family, send and receive emails, and check the web.
I was at mum and dad's house the other weekend, and then we started talking about the iPad, and I asked them whether they'd be interested in getting it, because you know mum and dad tend to, you know, like they get the iPod and they've got the big TV and that stuff if they think it's worth it. And then no one, and it was a big family gathering. I had about 12 family members there, and no one wanted to get it. And I was asking reasons why, and it was things like, I've got an iPod, I've got an iPhone, I've got a computer. There's no real reason other than,
that's fine.
You know what I mean? And I was just trying to think, apart from the people like us who do get excited about, now I can watch Firefly on the bus or something.
I'll give you an idea.
You know?
My wife, who isn't a big computer head, she has a laptop. She uses a computer at work. She's not computer illiterate, but she's not. She doesn't. She comes home from work on Friday. She doesn't check her email again until she goes back to work on Monday. Yeah. You know, she doesn't check Facebook. She's not really interested. She checks the web every now and again when she has to look something up. She listens to her iPod occasionally, you know, and she likes to read books. Right, yeah. She saw the ad for the iPad and she just goes, that is so cool.
Yeah.
You know, she just looked at that and she goes, that is what she wants. Well, she wants something just like that.
But as
another example, though, more importantly, when he means for that, I don't mean people like your parents, because your parents, and I don't mean this
I was
as an
my
insult.
Whole, my
oh, no, 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 but I'm
sorry, I was about to say, your parents are we won't say who, but your parents are a slightly different case.
Yeah, but what I mean...
Well, not necessarily, my mum was, you know, very excited about her iPhone.
You know?
And like, they're kind of people who, they do get excited and pleased with themselves if they feel they've upgraded to something cool.
When I mean
cool
more
and,
like
you know.
That, though, dude, when I mean more like that, I mean for the parents. Like, for instance, we have a regular set of customers, like a type of customer that Shane will know as well, which is the kind you sell that computer to, whether it be the netbook or a really, really average computer for somebody that just wants to do these products, and they will be bringing it back every week, and they will be saying, this won't work, that won't work, I can't use this.
You want a computer, they want something that requires no technical support, which is actually, and it's a word that's overused in the computer industry a lot, but in this particular case, I have to say, is completely intuitive.
Yeah.
You pick it up, it's very easy to pick up, it's very easy just
to... I spend one day with them in store, I install the programs that they require, I stick that 3G card in, and I go away.
Yeah.
And they never come back to me because it does the functionality it needs to do.
Damn straight. So I look at it and I go, there is a very strong case for the iPad. I look at it and I go, it's really cool. I'd like to have it in my bag so I can carry it around with me and so forth. But I'm not an average user. And I have to look at the average person. And as far as the average person is concerned, I can see why they would get so excited about this. I can see why the average person would sit there and go, that's what I want. Even the netbook proposes to do too much, and it can't do it well because it's not a strong enough processor. You say, can it run Photoshop? Netbooks can't run Photoshop. They're not strong enough. They're not powerful enough. Photoshop will just dog this thing. Can this thing video edit? Not a chance. You put some video through this thing, it's going to die. All right?
That's just me trying to figure out if there's any reason.
In fact, there is a video.
I would want it, you know what I mean?
That's what this whole thing's been. It's been used to.
No, but not just that. Apple never sits easy with me the way, ever since the iPod, you know, and they're the kind of things where I kind of think, I resist it until the fact where I feel like, you know, I actually want it or could find a use for it. But I've never liked the way they sell things as, you know, this is really cool.
I agree.
It's
and this
really
is actually,
sexy
but this
to
is actually
own
a point,
this.
This is a point we've made on this show often, though, which is, I love Apple product. I think Apple product is beautiful. I think it's beautifully designed. I think it works. I mean, Apple product just works. It's just really, really nice. I don't like the company that much, and this is kind of odd because I'm actually looking at trying to get a job with them. But that's because there are certain things I like about it. I don't like corporate company that much, you know. I love the Apple stores and stuff like that, but I can understand
what they stand for. And
it's there's a certain sensibility. They're not the underdog anymore. They're not the cool up and comer anymore. I mean, this week it came out again. This is the second time we've reported this, that their stock is now, their company value is actually now more than Microsoft's. They are no longer the underdog. These guys are huge, right? Yeah. So we look at it and go, you know, Google says do no evil. I don't think Apple lives by that philosophy. Apple lives by, we're going to lock
make
this thing.
Make evil sexy.
We're
I love that.
I love that. That's the name of this episode. Make evil sexy. I think that's brilliant. All right, so that's the point, though, that I look at it and go, sometimes I just wonder about the motivations of the company and everything else. That doesn't take away from the product. I think the product is rock solid.
Yeah.
I think what they produce is amazing, you know? And what they produce is more amazing than I think what anybody else is producing in the tech world at the moment, you know? Just purely from an industrial design and programming standpoint.
Well, you want to know the other thing, man, from the netbook point of view that I want to point out is... is so much more effective, in my opinion, is the fact that the only thing that I have a problem with netbooks for, the 10-inch nature of a netbook, right, is the way that the screen's scratched. It's really annoying to use the internet. Like, I mean, I actually found the iPad was just so enjoyable because I wasn't constantly scrolling to read what I needed
to absolutely.
See. I could leave it full-sized, and if I really couldn't read anything, which in most cases I could anyway... I just either tip it sideways or just go like that. Read what I need to read and zoom it.
And what's really nice about the OS is that you don't even have to do the stretch. If you're on a newspaper, for instance, and it's in columns, all you do is double tap on the column and it'll zoom just that area.
I was loving the fact that my site is actually still set up for iPads as well. Woo!
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. So, look, you know, we've just spent half an hour talking about Apple products.
I know,
and
they win. Either way, they win.
I mean, that's the thing. They are a sexy company in the sense of what they do. You know, so don't forget that title. What did we call this again?
Make evil sexy.
Make evil sexy. Got to write that down. Oh, man, where's a pen? Write this down for me, someone. all right, so we'll leave it at that. So basically, the long and the short of this is there are iPads out there.
Yeah.
If you go to the Apple site, they're saying now if you order it, you're not going to get it till mid-June. The Apple store itself is actually purporting to be sold out. But retailers, David Jones, JB Hi-Fi, people have it. Mm-hmm. It is around.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You know? So it's not like there's this huge weight on it. It was a truly manufactured weight. It really was. First rule of iPad, don't talk about iPad.
Yeah. the truth is, if you guys come to it and buy it from us, it's going to be cheaper than going to the Apple store anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not $6.29?
We're a few dollars cheaper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, save yourself a few bucks.
$6.27?
It probably is.
All right.
Still cheaper.
The other thing is that if you are in Sydney, Australia, and you watch this and you're freaking out because you can't get a hold of one, we are actually apparently going to be getting more stock early next week as well. So.
That's because those Foxconn workers are killing themselves to get them to you.
I regret nothing.
Quite literally. Oh, that was terrible. I shouldn't have said that. All right.
I think his was worse.
His was worse.
Yeah, but the boing was them bouncing off the safety net.
I know.
No one was harmed.
Yeah, I think we got it.
No employees were harmed in the making of this fictional statement.
All right. Now, in the show, we were talking comic book adaptations and also video game adaptations. Let's talk about that very quickly, and then we're going to get out of here because it's actually starting to get hot in here.
Yeah.
Anybody notice that?
It's getting hot.
It's cold outside. So all right,
no.
First of all, let's talk about the new Spider-Man reboot.
Oh, Jesus.
A short list of five actors has been released. Now, let's remind people that Spider-Man is being rebooted by Mark Webb, the director of 500 Days of Summer. They're going back to the Ultimates Spider-Man, and they're starting it in high school again. They're rebooting the whole thing.
16, I think.
16 is what the age he's supposed to be. This was a short list. Now, I gotta say that take the short list with a grain of salt, because when we saw the short list for Captain America, we all went and then suddenly they cast completely out of left field and it wasn't anybody on the list anyway.
The difference is though that I think we all had a slightly more confidence in Marvel than we do in Sony.
Well, there is that. That's true. Okay, so Sony is still producing Spider-Man, and they've said Jamie Bell. Now Jamie Bell was from King Kong, and
Billy
Elliot. Alden Enreich. Now, Alden Enreich is from... He was discovered by Spielberg, apparently. He was in Francis Ford Coppola's 2009 Tetro. He says he's discovered by Spielberg, but doesn't actually say what he did for Spielberg.
Discovered
so.
Doing what?
Doing what? He's discovered in hiding his backyard.
Cleaning a floor.
Yeah. Crap in the streets.
Frank Delane... 19-year-old Brit, whose main credit has been a small role in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Oh, yeah, he plays
Tom Riddle.
Young Tom Riddle. Yeah.
Now, somebody said, is a minor role in a Harry Potter film enough to actually launch a career? Well, just talk to Robert Pattinson. All right, so...
Hey!
All right, so Robert Pattinson only had a small role in Harry Potter. Andrew Garfield, L.A.-born actor, did a short stint on BBC TV, Sugar Rush, is in Red Riding... He's in a British TV movie trilogy called Red Riding. He was in the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Oh, yeah. That's an annoying-looking horse-faced guy.
Yeah, and he's coming up shortly in The Social Network, the Facebook film with David Fincher.
He's playing the main...
No. Jesse Eisenberg's playing the...
Oh, yeah.
Jesse Eisenberg playing Zuckerberg. All right,
he's sharing a lot of sharing in that film. Very caring.
And the last one on the shortlist is Josh Hutcherson.
He's
18-year-old, youngest actor of the lot, was in John Favreau's Zathura and The Bridge to Terabithia. He's also in the Red Dawn remake that's coming out soon, and he appears in a Sundance film called The Kids Are All Right. Oh, he also starred with Brendan Fraser in The Journey to the Center of the Earth. There you go. All right, so that's the short list at this point, and all I can say is none of them.
I know. I read that whole article and I was like, oh yeah, kind of that guy. I know that guy. And then I scrolled down, photos of all of them. Just no.
No.
Within a second, no.
Yeah, no.
Not a single one of them.
None of them do much for me, I've got to say. I think that shortlist is awful and I hope that they change their minds.
I hope Sony just rethinks the whole idea.
I think you had an interesting idea for Green Goblin, though. Didn't you say you could have a short cameo with Green Goblin and have it played by Mark Webb favorite...
Joseph Gordon. No, so I was saying like he would make a good Peter
Parker. Good. No, that's right.
If they weren't doing the stupid high school thing, if they were doing, you know, normal regular Spider-Man, I thought Joseph Gordon-Levitt would be a good, you know, university age Spider-Man.
Look, if they were doing a university age Spider-Man, I would say cast Jake Gyllenhaal because Jake Gyllenhaal is basically
I would say continue the original trilogy.
That's right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, replace Tobey Maguire
like adult. Like, do the kind of stable, none of this. I love Mary Jane. I don't love Mary Jane. I'm so unstable with my life. Yeah, we saw that for 3 fucking movies, Toby.
All right. So from Marvel, let's move to DC and say that DC isn't sitting on their hands, although I would say they pretty much are. They've got a whole bunch of geeky genre stuff coming out. Red Riding Hood, which is a retelling of Little Red Riding Hood.
Is that going to be done by...
Michael Bay style.
No, I was actually going to say, is that going to be done by our favorite Alice in Wonderland director?
I don't think so.
No,
I gotta say, just because
I mean, like, I'm just absolutely picturing.
Now, remember,
that right
he's
now.
Doing Monster Apocalypse. Remember,
that's fine, but he can fit this in between.
No, this is somebody else. I don't know who's doing Red Riding Hood, but I made Josh really mad on Thursday night at the movies when we went to see by informing him he hadn't heard that Alice in Wonderland has now approached the $1 billion mark at the box office, making it the sixth highest grossing film of all time for a film that was just crap. And I listened there and go, wow, shit.
I reckon Tim Burton sort of, you know, heard that news and was like looking in the mirror later that day. You did good, Timmy. You did good. Like, in the background, you just see like his dad's skeleton in a chair, like Norman Bates style. See, Dad, I told you I'd make something of myself.
So I just thought it was horrific. I don't know why that film is making so much money. All right, Warner's has also got Hangover 2 coming out. Thank God Dave isn't here. Or we would have no nonstop Hangover comments.
Is he pro or anti?
Oh, he hates the Hangover. Hangover 2.
He redefines the very concept of the word.
Hangover?
Now, as far as the geek stuff is concerned, we've got Green Lantern in 3D, which means it's upscaled, yeah? They didn't shoot it in 3D, did they?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure. I'll have to look into that.
Oh, mind you, it seems like there's a lot of digital stuff in that, so...
Yeah, but the live action stuff, was it shot with 3D or was it...
I don't know.
Alice had a lot of digital stuff too, but the 3D conversion was terrible. Green Lantern 3D, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, 3D, Journey to the Center of the Earth 2, 3D, Happy Feet 2, 3D. Boy, Warner's has gone berserk with 3D. And
at least films like Happy Feet and stuff work in 3D.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I have no problem. If the film is made for 3D, I have no problem. I have a problem with upscaling. Harry Potter's been upscaled. We know that. So
they're going to be garbage anyway. But...
Now, the film here called New Year's...
Yeah. Yeah, he did. They're books. Leave them like that.
No, I like the Harry Potter films. All right.
At least finish the book series before they made the films. That always annoys me when they're halfway through writing it and they're already adapting the films. It's like, you don't know what character...
I've got to correct you on that, Ben, because I actually do have... a lot of respect for the way they made the Harry Potter films because they were in close consultation with Rowling the entire time. And she would actually inform them of stuff. And there was actually a great story. Cloves, who wrote it, basically wrote the screenplays, all of them except for one of the screenplays, said that there were points where he would actually go to her because they always had to run the adaptations past her. And they'd go to her and they'd say, we've written this out or we've taken that out. And she goes, no, you have to put in that minor character because he plays a bigger part later. And so she was actually informing them about where to take things throughout the whole thing. So I respect the fact that they had such close consultation. And the films were actually being made after the books. They weren't being made at the same time because books 1, 2, and 3 were already published by the time the first film came out.
Not each book. But
but each film is independent of its own books. So when they made the first movie, the first 4 books were already in publish. So they had a well and truly head start on them. So...
I mean, from a narrative perspective, like...
I think they're doing a pretty good
having
job.
Having a vision on something... Yeah, I don't know.
I think they're doing a pretty good job. I've read all the books, and...
I prefer if they're going to adapt something. I like the feeling of it... Lord of the Rings. It's kind of... It's been out there as its own
form of media,
and it's had time to...
I think they've done a damn good job adapting the Harry Potter books.
I don't know. I disagree. I mean...
Anyway. Yeah. New Year's Eve. Anybody heard of this film called New Year's Eve? All I can think is this a sequel to Valentine's Day? There's a film called New Year's Eve, which ironically comes out December 9th. It's not even coming out on New Year's Eve, which would make more sense. Anyway.
What's it about?
It doesn't say. This is their big screen releases already set. It says now.
But
this
3D?
Is,
or just...
No, not 3D on that one. Oh, okay. Here's where it gets juicy. DC. Warner's is also keying up... a July 20th, 2012 release date for the new Batman film. So that's in the works.
July 2012.
But July 20th, 2012.
Ooh, Avengers gets in there just a bit before.
Yeah. Latest Batman film by Christopher Nolan. And holiday season 2012 Superman film. So they've got both those coming in 2012. And the exec at Warner Brothers also wanted to add... that Sherlock Holmes 2 has a date. Sherlock Holmes 2 is going to be set for 2011. And, mid-December 2011. And they are nearing the green light on the Flash film. And they are in current negotiations featuring Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Mad Magazine characters.
Spy by spy. What's cool is Ryan Reynolds is actually playing all of those roles. So
yeah, can you imagine a Justice League movie? They'd have to like superimpose him on every character.
It'd be like Multiplicity.
I think you're onto something. I'm going to see that movie. I think that would be a hoot. All right. It gives new meaning to one man show. That's it.
Wow.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. All right. I think I'm done. Anybody else got anything?
No. There was just one thing that I read that... help me out. What's the name of the people who are producing... Nightmare on Elm Street,
Platinum Dunes.
Yeah, that they and Michael Bay are producing.
Michael Bay owns Platinum Dunes.
They're rebooting the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I heard this. Yes, yeah. I heard this. They've bought the rights up for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and that's like, why? The reboot for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, live action, not animated, has been in the works for a while. But it was originally attached to Hemdale. That's who produced the original film. I think it was Hemdale. And then, from what I heard, it was going to be Lionsgate or something like that was going to be doing it.
Yeah. And I think Lionsgate had the TMNT.
Right, okay. All right.
The animated film. I stopped watching Platinum Dunes movies the more I started to think. Like, I haven't made it through Jason. I haven't.
Jason!
And I haven't. And I'm holding up the worst internal fears that I have for what they're doing to Nightmare on Elm Street, because they have a particular style of making these movies that basically is wrong. It starts wrong. It's like, take dark... thriller kind of, old school, it's all based around suspense kind of horror, and then basically superimpose heavy violence into it and make the storyline as dark as you possibly can. And that's what they do to reinvent
these films. That's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie I want to see.
that's just what
Shredder literally shreds people.
Well, I mean, like, maybe that's where they're going to go with it. And, if so, at least it'll be something slightly fresh, because they have worn to death this concept of trying to make these new versions of the movies, because they don't work.
Mm.
They take all the fun, all of the intrigue, all of the interest out of them, and basically leave you with a hollow... star-filled gore fest, and it's just a waste of space.
Hmm.
That's all.
Fair
I'm
enough,
saying.
And it's interesting because we're going to see a Platinum Dunes film next week.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think Josh was kind of thinking of that as he said a lot
of
that. Yeah. kind of flowed out.
You wanted to talk... That's right, Platinum Dunes is doing... that's just horrifying. I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Yeah. It's horrifying, and if any more news comes up, we can bring it up next week.
Yeah, we'll look at that. Okay, we're going to finish this show off by saying, first of all, for this show or the Geek Actually show, of course, you can send feedback to feedback@geekactually.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, Sydney number 02-8011-3167. I hope you come and join us for one of the proper shows as of next week, or you can always find our back catalog at geekactually.com of the main shows and the after shows and Geek Actually Tech and platforms. It's all there at geekactually.com. Now... we're going to finish the show off today, after we've said our goodbyes, with a video that my son brought to my attention, and Ben's seen it. Basically, it's another YouTube video. At the moment, we've gone kind of a little bit fan film crazy on geekactually.com, but there's some really clever ones. This is actually something called Hi, I'm a Marvel, I'm a DC, the musical. And it's a series of these where they use action figures to do the send-ups of the Mac PC ads, yeah. But using it against Marvel DC. And, on the most part, they're kind of fun, and, they get it. But this one was remarkably clever, yeah. And not so much for the animation or anything like that. Forget all. It's the lyrics to the song. The song is great. So we'll come back to that in just a second, but we're going to go out on that. So before we go out, Ben, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, no worries.
And now you've got your details all went out on the main show, but just to remind people again, where can they find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Ben O'Brien, or Studio 4. Fan page.
Yep.
Yeah. Also, add my gamertag, Wolfie Boy, on Xbox Live if you want to get a posse going in Red Dead Redemption. And we can hunt some bears with our fists. That's the plan.
Real men hunt bears.
That's man bear hunting. Man bear pig.
And Shane.
Yeah, you can just type my full name into Facebook, Shane Robert Gregory, or you can find me writing for RawDLC.com.
Fantastic. And Josh?
RawDLC.com and geekactually.com.
You're over it today, aren't you? All right, and if you want to find out, of course, if you want to find out more about me, you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/DaveMcVeigh, or just go to geekactually.com. Everything is at geekactually.com. That's where you're going to find out most of the stuff about me. We're going to go out on this video. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you all next week. So here we go.
Hi, I'm Iron Man.
I'm Batman.
I'm a Marvel.
He's Batman.
Gotta love it. So, looks like it's my turn to have a number one sequel at the box office, but not without our fair share of criticism. Some say the movie suffers from having too many new characters and plot threads, but what are you gonna do?
That was surprisingly humble of you to say, Tony. I guess I expected a lot more showboating from you.
I'll tell you what you do. Set him straight. Hit it. Sure, I could kick Kick-Ass's ass. The losers would be lost. And no one knows if Jonah Hex can make back what he cost. But we at Marvel have a plan. Quite simply, it's divine. A plan you spell C-O-N-T-I-N-U-Y-T-Y. In my new film, Black Widow and Nick Fury got to shine. We coexist with Cap and Thor, who aren't that far behind. To set all of that up, we gave up half of my screen time. But it's worth it, so you see that we have continuity. I know what you're thinking.
No, you don't.
What about all the Marvel characters at other studios?
Don't care.
I'm glad you asked.
I'm not.
While Spider-Man's at Sony and the X-Men are at Fox, they'll never let them go as long as they keep up their stocks. We'll get to put them in the Marvel movie universe as soon as they make 40,000 reboot prequels first. Then Logan, you and Cap could have a war movie to shoot, and Spider-Man, you could be the Avengers' new recruit. But if they write a teen vampire into your reboot, stay the hell away from me and my continuity. You've got a ton of competition from DC. Well, if by competition you mean Batman 3. Oops, forgot Green Lantern and Nolan's Superman. Come on, it's just a joke! DC showed us Batman Begin and Superman Return. But when they said they'd never meet, the audience felt burned. Boo. Instead of seeing a world's finest movie on the screen, they got a crappy joke inside an I Am Legend scene. As DC Entertainment tries to make that movie real, the DC Movie Universe and Marvel made a deal. We won't mention Howard the Duck, and we won't mention Steel, and we'll fight until we bleed for superiority. Well, RDJ is playing me, and Chris Hemsworth is Thor, and Cap will look a lot like this guy from Fantastic Four. But if Marvel and Edward Norton simply can't agree, we'll see Bruce Banner being played by David Duchovny. See all of us in theaters in the year 2012, although a few months later some say things will go to hell. But before we cease to be from the Mayan prophecy, you can buy the DVD with the digital copy, or the Blu-ray in HD with deleted scenes with me. Did I mention it's 3D? Still, it's vital that you see. The important thing to me is the fact that we have continuity.
Does Rhodey look different to you?
Shut up. Continuity. Boom. Thank you.